Now, in addition to the Hare Krishna Prasthaya Mutilation, Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namani, Namaste, Sarasate Deve, Gavurabhani Pichayana, Nibishesha, Sunyavari, Paschachirin, Sujani. Umadhyanam Timuram Dasyaganam Dina Sulakaya Chaksuram Dinikim Jainam Tasmai Sri Garave Namaha. Panchakalpa Trubhyas Chakripta Sindhu Bhira Chapatitanam Bhavane Dio Vaishnavi Dio Namo Namaha. So here in the second chapter, Krishna says, Nasato Vichite Bhavo Nabhavo Vichite Sataha Ubayor Api Dristantas Tvananyos Tatta Darshidihi. Those who are seers of the truth, Tatta Darshidihi, those who are seers of the truth have concluded that of the non-existent, or the material body, there is no endurance, and of the eternal, the soul, there is no change. This they have concluded by studying the nature of both. This is something that we should understand very clearly, which is explained in the beginning of the second chapter of this Bhagavad Gita. We have to be able to tell the difference between what is sat and what is asat. These are two contrasting things, the sat and the asat. Sat means that which is truly real. How do we know that? Because there's no change. There is na abhavaha. There's no changing quality. It doesn't begin and it doesn't end. It doesn't go through mutations. Whereas that which is asat, it doesn't last. There's no endurance. So there's a spiritual reality that is called sat. And then there is a material reality, and that is called asat. For us, the individual soul, we are what is sat or real is called atma. That is the self. Atma is sat. And asat means this body, which is because the body has no enduring quality. It's born. It grows, it produces some offspring, then it dwindles, and then it dies. Oh, asat. And so that is the not-self. So the self is eternal and unchanging. The not-self, or the body, is temporary and always changing. So we should understand that our predicament in the material world is that actually we cannot distinguish very clearly yet in our conditioned state between the sat and the asat. And this is the cause of all kinds of difficulty and distress for us. It is an incompatible situation because we ourselves, the soul, we are eternal. But this body and the world around us that we see with our bodily senses is temporary. So this is incompatible. So in the course of these living in this material world, we see that life goes on. One generation is born. It's busy for a little while on this earth. Does a few things. Then it passes away, and another generation comes up, and it also gets very busy with economic development and worries about so many things and produces some offspring. Then it grows old and it dies. Then the next group, they grow up. So what's the point? If you look back as far in time, it's been going on. As far as we know, in the future, it will go on. What's the point? And as we're here in this body, and based on the body, we think, I have a beginning and I have an end. And you can look in the dictionary of famous people, right? And you'll see their name, like William Shakespeare, huh? And then you'll see a parenthesis after the name, right? One little parenthesis. And then there'll be a date, in his case, 1564. And then a hyphen, and then another date, 1616, and then another parenthesis. So there he is, William Shakespeare, see? Locked in between these two parentheses. That's his life. 1564, 1660. Finished. Come and gone. And so this is going on for all of us. We think like this, huh? Because this is what happens to the body. And what's the point? What is achieved? So you look at the whole of human history, what really takes place? Or you say somebody like Shakespeare, oh, he was a famous person, he wrote some plays. And slowly, slowly, now you can hardly read them, the English is so old-fashioned, they have to force school children to pay attention. And then in a little more time, it'll be forgotten completely. So he left a little echo after him for a little while. After he was gone, some people had to memorize his name and some lines. Then he's gone. What's the point? Yeah. On the platform of the Asat, there is no point. There is no point. The point, the meaning of it, is when we can understand the Sat. And when we can use our situation in this temporary material body to understand our eternal nature, then there's something worthwhile that has taken place. As long as we remain in ignorance, we will be suffering in this world. I particularly, you know, I know the date this body came into being, and the date it shall end is rapidly approaching. These changes at first, it's fun being in the material body, and then after a while, as the body grows older, and then there are so many diseases that no matter what, the diseases are there. If it's not one thing, it's another thing. And then the body is growing old. This is not pleasant. We want to stay alive. Why do we want to stay alive so badly, huh? You ever consider it? What a situation it is, because we learn in our biology class that the very first thing of all living organisms is the instinct for self-preservation. And if you get just the tiniest little squiggle of life, one little one-celled organism, the basic thing is it wants to stay alive. It has this instinct of self-preservation. The most fundamental drive of all living beings is to stay alive. It's so strong that we read these stories about when people are in real danger of losing their lives, they do all kinds of horrible things that they would normally not consider doing just to stay alive. The many survivor tales of like this where they turn to cannibalism and other things like that just to stay alive. Well, you know, okay, under that difficult circumstance, maybe I can understand it. That's how strong the instinct of self-preservation is. Everybody wants to stay alive. Well, how many succeed? Not a single one. Not a single one. Then why is this instinct so strong? Because we are sat. We are actually sat. But the body is asat. And everyone comes in the material world born into ignorance and identifies the sat and the asat. I think I am the body. I identify with the body. So now I'm trying to keep the body alive forever. Forget it. So that's what we have to learn. We have to learn what is real and what is not real. We have to understand this is our only recourse here, that we can learn who we actually are. We can cultivate the spirit. And as far as the material thing goes, let it do its thing. Let the body grow old. Let one generation pass away. Let the next come. Let that pass away. Just look at it. Do not be concerned. That's the way of things. Don't try to stop it. And all these people now who want to stay alive forever in this body, they are fighting material nature. They are fighting time. They will lose. They will certainly lose. Why waste one's effort and all this ability not to grow old, Botox and this and that and the other, hair pieces and all these things. We are in such anxiety because these things are happening, old age, disease, death, don't just let it go. It's all right. It doesn't really involve us because we are permanent and we are eternal. So that's the teaching in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. The first thing to understand, those who have seen the truth, they know the difference. And so we should know the difference also between the self and the not-self. That this body and its mind, that is the not-self. That is a temporary vehicle that we are in. Well, Krishna states this in this chapter, and then he says, for the soul, jayate mriyate vahakadachin, there's no birth or death at any time. Nayam bhutva bhavita va nabuyaha, doesn't come into being or even go out of being, not in the past, not in the present, not in the future. Ajo nitya shasvato ayam purano yahanyate hanyamane sharire. For this, the soul which is sat, unborn, ajaha. No parentheses here. None of this business, huh? Unborn, eternal, everlasting. Purana means very old. Very old. You see a little baby, that soul is very old. Hanyate hanyamane sarira, he's not slain when the body is slain. Well, this is clearly. And then the other part of this chapter, this is called Sankhya Yoga by Krishna, the Sankhya, understanding this, the difference between the self and the not self, between the sat and the asat. But now we have to also do something else. And that is to say, we have to make this real to us. We have to withdraw our attention from the asat and put it on the sat. We have to change our interest from the impermanent to the permanent. And therefore, Krishna recommends this path, which in this chapter he calls Buddhi Yoga. Buddhi means that we can control the mind and the senses by the intelligence and withdraw the senses, control the senses and not let them become attached to temporary things. Naturally, here are we in this room. We have relationships with each other. From those relationships, we feel happiness. But we should understand that the relationship, what makes us feel happiness, is not really the body. It is the soul. It is the soul. It is what is sought. We are all sought together. So let us stay together. Let us not be separated when these bodies go. How do we stay together? By all of us engaging in the concentrating our attention and engaging ourselves together in the service of the Paramatma. We are the Atma and there is the Paramatma. We are part and parcel of the complete whole. And the Lord is also Sat, and He is the Supreme Sat. He is called, we are Brahman, but Krishna is Param Brahman. So we have to come together. The more we come together on the spiritual platform, that is to say, as Krishna says in this chapter, Matparaha, that we are concentrating our mind and our attention on Him, then also our spiritual nature is awakened. So this is here also later on in this chapter about this path of devotional service, which is here called Buddha Yoga. And it means restraining the senses. Krishna has called this person, is the person of steady intelligence. One who restrains his senses, keeping them under full control, and fixes his consciousness on me is a person of steady intelligence, he says. So the conclusion of this chapter, he says to Arjuna, one whose senses are restrained from their objects is certainly of steady intelligence. What is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled. So when we are on the spiritual of Sat, in other words, when we are alert to the spiritual reality, at that time everyone else, they cannot see it. Those who are absorbed in the Asat, it is night for them. Although we can see, here is the reality. They are blind. And the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage. And so when they are alert, trying to engage the senses and so much enjoyment of the temporary things, we see, no, there's nothing here. This is asat. A person who's not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled but is always still, can alone achieve real peace, and not the person who strives to satisfy such desires. A person who has given up all desires for sense gratification, who lives free from desires, who has given up all sense of proprietorship and is devoid of false ego, he alone can attain real peace. That is the way of the spiritual and godly life, after attaining which a person is not bewildered. If one is thus situated, even at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. So that is the life of reality, of sat. And so that is why it is necessary to practice this activity of devotional service or Krishna consciousness, because we are right now consciousness is fixed or contaminated, and we are deeply identifying ourselves with the material body. So we have to wake up the spiritual nature. So we do that by coming into contact with the Supreme Spirit, with Krishna. We are like, Krishna is the fire, and we are like sparks in the fire. So when the sparks get blown away, a little away from the fire, then they lose their quality of fire. They become just like cinders. But again, they go back into the fire, they glow. Well, we come into contact with Krishna in so many ways, by hearing Krishna's literature, by chanting Hare Krishna and other bhajans, by honoring Krishna Prasad, and all these things awaken our spiritual nature. Then we will no longer be confined like this between these two parentheses. And then our lives will actually have meaning and purpose. And our happiness and our well-being and our association with each other will continue. It does not depend upon the course of material nature. This is the lesson of this chapter in the Bhagavad Gita. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.
Okay. So Krishna says that earth, water, fire, air and ether, and mind, intelligence and false ego, all of the inferior energies. So what is left over with the soul?
He's asking the question. Krishna says, this is in the seventh chapter. He says, my separated material energy, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence and false ego, is my inferior energy. So notice that means not only my gross body, but what we call also the subtle body, my mind, thinking, feeling, and willing, and things that go on, as we say, inside our head. That's also not the soul. That's not the self. It's like we have two bodies or two coverings. One is the subtle, and one is the gross. What's left over is consciousness. The soul is left over. How do we know the soul is there? A consciousness. This is the symptom of the presence of soul. You can look at it this way, that the self or is the seer, that which is conscious. And the not-self is the seen. Here in this material world, the seer is spiritual, but everything that we see is material. So first of all, we say, okay, here's the boundary right here. How many is my eyes that are seeing? So this is the self. We think like here, this is and out here is the not-self. That's the first way we think. We identify with the body. But then, of course, you'll notice that my eyes are seeing, but I'm conscious of my eyes seeing. My hands are moving. I'm conscious of my hands moving. My skin is feeling various sensations. I'm conscious of that. So actually, my body is something I'm seeing. That is, I'm aware of. Well, we have to. So the body is the not self. It's the seeing. So we bring the boundary back. And maybe this is where we think, okay, well, I'm identifying much strongly with my mind, my thinking and feeling and willing. But then again, our mind goes through, the thoughts are going there, and we're still conscious of what our mind is thinking. We have so many feelings, and I'm conscious of what my mind is feeling. Sometimes we know now from psychology that there are many feelings in our minds sometimes that we're not even aware of. So they're still there, but we're not conscious of everything right yet. Huh? Then they come into our consciousness. We said, oh. So the mind is the not-self. We're also... So the mind is our environment. It's not that our environment begins here. The body and the mind, they are in our environment. So this is consciousness. So that's what's left. Now that consciousness is called contaminated consciousness. But by practicing Krishna consciousness, what happens is that this consciousness becomes pure and more intense. It's like waking up. Because actually the spiritual reality, we're situated in the Sat. We're situated in Brahman. But right now we're dim. Our consciousness is dim. But when we practice our devotional service, then it becomes brighter and brighter, and we become aware of so much more. We become really alive. So this is what Krishna consciousness is about. And then we will experience ourselves as not the body. This idea that I am eternal is not just a theory. This is realized knowledge. The Tattva Darshi means not those who have figured out the truth by some logic and reason. No, Darshi means they've seen it. They know from experience. We also have to follow them so we will know from experience. Okay? Anything else I should ask?
No, one more question. Uh-huh. You started with by saying that what's the point?
What's the point?
Birth and death is eternal, that goes on and on. But in between that is karma. So do you think that's the point? And because death carries forward, or karma is in the
It goes, it goes forward. If we understand the whole thing, it does have a point. I mean, and the point is, as Prabhupada says, human life is meant for self-realization. That's the point. The point of animal bodies is, well, gradually you come up to the human body. Otherwise, what is the point? You know, there are many insects, they don't live longer than a daytime. In fact, there are some flies that don't even have any mouths because they don't live long enough to eat. They're born with the nutrition. They come out of the eggs. They fly around. They reproduce and they die. It's like that. Just in one day. The next day, again, 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 again. What's the point? What's the point? So when we look at that, we see these animals, these insects, that don't live any longer than a day, and as they go on, live long enough only to reproduce and then die again. We say, what's the point? How do you think we look to the demigods? We're no better than that unless we use our time for self-realization. Otherwise, our lives have no more significance than those mayflies or whatever they are. They just live long enough to reproduce and die again. Thank you. Thank you.